Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning. We thank you for being such a great Father, the true rock of our salvation, the Almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day to worship you. We thank you for these holy scriptures. Bring them to life, dear Lord, through the power of your Spirit. Make me a humble vessel of that communication today. In all the ways and all the things that we do, may we glorify and praise you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we talked about how in Bible study that we had on the tough sayings of Jesus, that Jeff asked why the scripture always compare us to animals. And another answer to that question, besides the one we discussed before, is that Jesus grew up a country boy and he understood animals. There's a lot more animals in the country than there are in the cities. And he also knew that those he was preaching to in those country regions would understand those images of animals. Well, that's also why he talked a lot about crop farming, is because, again, in the country, there tends to be more farms than in the city, and people would have understood those images. And we get one of those farm images here today in the gospel. This is 9:37 and 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, each of the stages of farming, and there are a bunch of them, each one of them have significance in the scripture for some kind of hidden meaning or other meaning than just that stage of farming. And today's stage is the harvest. And what harvest might mean for the hidden meaning is the gathering in, that could be for judgment, but also for salvation. But also before that, the final push to share the story as much as you can with as many people as you can. Therefore, so as many as possible can come in, can be brought into the barn, if you will, can go to heaven, can be harvested from the fields that are out there. I think a couple themes emerge from this image of the harvest, and one of them is urgency. At harvest time, it was an urgent time. It was a frantic time in some ways, because once the grain gets ripe, if you don't harvest it quickly, it can spoil. And so there's a time element to this. There was an urgency to this activity, and that's often why farm owners would hire more workers at harvest time so that they could make sure to get that harvest in, those grains that were ripe, to get them in before they spoiled. And if you notice in 9:38, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, to send out for more workers, right? And you need that at the harvest time so that that can happen. There's a guy named Craig Keener. He's a New Testament scholar. He's also an evangelical. And he said, he used this imagery of the harvest in Bronx, New York, when he was doing a street ministry there. And he said that he went out into the streets of Bronx with his church, and he witnessed to the Lord, and he talked to people. And he said that 63 people provided names and addresses for follow-up after praying to accept Christ as Lord. And he says, yet even if we led 100 people in Christ today, at the end of the year, the new Christians would have numbered fewer than 40,000. Not one half of 1% of the city itself. and only about 1/5 of 1% of the whole metropolitan area. And he's talking about New York City. And he goes on to say that when you're involved in evangelism, there's this urgency, right? Because the harvest is falling to the ground. It's rotting, right? He compares to the people that they can't reach because they don't have enough laborers to go out and to spread, you know, the gospel that much. And so there's this urgency to share before the harvest rots or it's wasted or the time is up, right? And so I think that's something that here at St. Mark's we can really relate to because we feel that urgency too. You know, with a lot of our older members dealing with illness and unable to come, we've really felt that in the pews. And here is the core group, minus a few that haven't made it today, but here is the core group. And we've felt that we've missed those others who can't be here because of illness and old age. And so we feel that urgency to help bring in new peoples to St. Mark's. And so I think we can relate a lot to today's passage. In 9:37, it says the workers are few. I think that's a message of hope for us because we don't have that many, right? The workers are few. And that was the case for Jesus too. Notice he only sent out 12 disciples in this particular passage, right? And if you count, when we have most of our core group, that's about how many we have right now. And so, don't give up hope. Hope isn't lost. And that's my other theme that I want to talk about today. Besides urgency that comes out of the harvest, there's hope in the harvest time. You know, that there was the Roman Empire, first 5 centuries of the first 5 centuries in AD, and Rome was in power. And they did a lot of bad things. We talked about that. They did some good things, too, in terms of organization. There was a cohesiveness to the world at that time. Once they fell in 476, that cohesiveness started to break apart. And there wasn't some of those support structures in place for people to do things, to manage things like the economy, to manage things like scholarship and culture. And so history slipped into a period that's known as the Dark Ages. Historians don't like the term much anymore because not all the Middle Ages were dark, but especially that 6th, 7th century, 8th century, some of that period is now typically known as the Dark Ages, when things go backwards in terms of advancements in the economy or advancements in scholarship or advancements in culture. And I always think it's fascinating to think about people living during those centuries that would have walked around and seen some of the ruins of what Rome had done and how great those things were, right, when it was their heyday. And to realize that as a people moving forward, that they had slipped backwards. They were later in history, but they weren't anywhere near the glory of what Rome was, with its buildings and architecture and all of those things. And they would have been reminded that in a visual sense as they see in these ruins of Rome. But there was a man living at that time in England, and his name was Bede, and he was a monk. And his parents had given him to a monastery in the east central part of England in the 7th century. And he basically stayed there his whole life, and he wrote. That was his main thing. He was a writer. Eventually, the church named him a doctor of the church, only reserved for 4 other people in in church history. So he became a really important person, and one that the English really looked to as one of the founders of their faith. And St. Boniface called him a candle of the church. In other words, a light. And so out of this dark ages, out of this period, came this little humble monk writing about people like St. Aidan, who was going around in that same region where he lived and sharing the gospel and telling the story and bringing in folks for the harvest. They were telling, he wrote about workers in the field, you might say, laborers in the field for the harvest. And he wrote about other people like Cuthbert, who was a missionary in Ireland and did similar things. And out of these writings, Christians took hope. They saw the light that even though around them things seemed to be crumbling and going backwards, that through the witness of these missionaries, that light was, the light of Christ was being shared. And it really helped get people through that were Christian through these dark ages. And the church also provided a lot for things that normally a government would do, things like caring for the sick, providing things that people needed. And people looked to the church during this time. And so the church was a beacon of hope for those that felt like they were in the dark. You know, people like Bede and Aidan and Cuthbert, they were really shaking their fist in a metaphorical way. They were shaking their fist to this darkness and saying that the light of Christ can get us through this too. And their faith and their hope was a light for others to gain inspiration from and to know that God hadn't given up on them, even though things looked like it was really bleak, and to keep going. You know, Bede really looked forward to the harvest and to heaven. That was a big emphasis in his preaching that he did in the monasteries. And so I think that was really important for him. And I think perhaps at St. Mark's, we can be like that too for our little community. Because you know what? I bet there's some Christians out there that drive by our building, drive by our church, and they say, that church is still there. That church is still going. Even during these bleak times of the lessening of people going to church in general in America, et cetera, right? And these whatever kind of fill in the blank for the bleak times, and there are a lot of them, that church is still going. It isn't dead, and that's a light that shines. And I think we should take hope from that, even though people, a lot of people aren't stopping to say that. I think that happens. Some of us, you know, we've rubbed the other way because they want us out of here so they can do other things, right? And there's always that too. But still, they must admire the determination that is there. So I think part of the message of the harvest is an urgency. We can't forget that. We need to be sharing the story. We need to be inviting people to church. We need to be, you know, doing the work of the harvest before it rots, before it's too late. And we have to continue to feel that urgency. But on the flip side of that is something comforting, that there is hope. And I think Christ can use us as a beacon of hope as well for those who have the eyes to see. In Matthew 9:38, it says, ask the Lord to send out workers, right? So don't forget to be in prayer for the harvest and for our role in that at St. Mark's. I think that's really vital. It's vital for a pastor to pray for the church. It's vital for all of you to pray for the church as well. So let's be partners in asking the Lord during these bleak times, if you will, our role, and to continue to show us that path. He's already revealed something we mentioned last week, and it's exciting for us to try and do, but to continue to show us that way and and that path. You know, people, you've heard that phrase, wear my heart on my sleeve. I think we need to wear urgency on our sleeve. I think that's the point we're at with our, in the history of St. Mark's. We can't forget that urgency piece, but also remember that hope as well. I want to close today with a prayer that Luther said. So if you would bow with me, I'm going to read this because I it's too long for me to memorize and do justice to, and I want it to be Luther's words. Let us pray. Merciful God, you have said to us through your Son, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Upon this divine command, we pray heartily that you would grant your Holy Spirit richly to your servants, to us, and to all who are called to serve your word, so that the company of us who publish glad tidings may be great, and that we may stand faithful and firm against the devil, the world, and the flesh, to the end, that your name may be hallowed, your kingdom grow, your will be done. Graciously hear this our prayer, since you have so commanded, taught, and promised, even as we believe and trust through your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.